shine. Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
Today we are continuing our series that we are calling Breaking Bad. This is the sixth lesson in the series on Breaking Bad. We spent quite a bit of time early on talking about how Jesus came to break the bad cycles in our life. That Jesus didn't die on the cross and bring us the power to walk in freedom, that we could walk around in our bad cycles. You know what a bad cycle is, right? It's when you do something and you say, all right, I'm getting away from that thing. And then you kind of get out there and then you find yourself back at the same thing, struggling with the same bad behavior, struggling with the same bad cycles year in, year out. And Jesus is never destined for us to live our life in that kind of bondage, but he's come to set us free from our bad cycles and we can walk in freedom. Now today, I've titled this lesson today, Breaking Bad Behavior. Breaking Bad Behavior. Now, I know this only relates to your boss or relates to your spouse. Probably doesn't relate to you personally. It probably relates to your spouse more than it does somebody else. They're the only one who really deals with bad behavior, right? Because God knows we don't, right? You don't. No, we all do, right? We all have issues in our life that would really fall under this category of bad behavior. And why do we struggle with bad behavior? Why do we struggle with addictive behavior in our life? Things that we know we need to stop. Things that we know that's not pleasing to what God's will is for our life. But yet we find ourselves coming back to it and stuck in this cycle. So one of the things today that I love doing as a pastor here is I love inspiring you. Okay, I love to inspire you. I hope that I do. I hope that my messages inspire you to want to grow. I hope the messages that you hear inspire you to want to change. I hope they inspire you to be a better father. I hope they inspire you to be a better mother or a better employer or employee or a better Christian altogether. I hope they inspire you for greatness in your life. But I don't want to just see inspiration take place. No, when we speak a series like this, what I'm praying is not just for inspiration, but for transformation. Big difference, right? I just want to, inspiration lasts for probably about 4 or 5 days, but transformation means that change is truly taking place. So we want to challenge you to transform. Today I've asked Dan Clark to join me in this lesson today as we talk. Now Dan is the director of Care Counseling Services. He has an office here at the church. Which is not a ministry of the church. It's actually a different ministry altogether that he runs and oversees. He is a member here and brings that under our leadership to a certain degree, but he is running his own ministry out of this care counseling service. But what many of you don't know, he also has a really big care counseling center over in Parsons, Kansas, that God is really opening up some big doors there in the city and getting favor in the city with the government there, and they are training up people and running this care counseling center over there. It's awesome. But Dan, it's good to have you joining me today.
Well, thank you, Gene. It's good to be here. As a matter of fact, we started a center over in Parsons about 2.5 years ago, and the city ended up giving us a building for 2 years. And what we do there is train individuals to do some of the things I'm going to be talking about today, about how they can make an impact on the lives of others.
One of the things today that I want to see happen is a lot of times I'll send Dan people that have come to me with problems in their life that I know need some extended help in their problems, and I'll send Dan, refer people to him, and I'll see some people that I know that, man, they got some big problems. And I send them to Dan, and I see them just do a 180, Dan. They just, their mind, their spirit, their countenance, their marriages, I mean, things begin to change. They do a 180, and they walk away at some point, and I just see transformation has happened. I see them transforming. And there's been other people I've sent your way that I know that they walk away and there's just no change at all. And it really kind of, you know, in my heart, it grieves me because I'm thinking, man, I want to see people transform. I want to see people changing for the better. But there's a difference. There's a difference today. And I really want to get into the nuts and bolts of this today about why some people change and others don't seem to find that breakthrough in their life.
Well, there's a lot of different reasons why people don't change. The two things that I see most often is they don't have a belief that God can change them or that they have a choice. And the other one is that they're just not open to change.
Open to change, yeah. We all got to know that's the truth, right? If you want to be changed, the first thing is first is that you got to be open to change. You know, we want to inspire you, but you got to be open to the information. It's kind of like, you know, an infomercial inspires me. I can be sitting up at late at night thinking, man, I need to get back in better shape, and I can see a infomercial that inspires me. I'm like, yes, that is me. I'm ready to see my abs that have been gone since 1989. I get inspired, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to do this, and we order things on, you know, we'll make sporadic, because we're inspired, we make sporadic purchases, and we order this product, but it says this product along with proper diet and exercise. And we get this big pamphlet in with it, with the machine that you ordered, and it tells you a great diet to follow and exercise to follow. But we want to throw that away. We just want to go for the inspiration, and we're like, you know, come on, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll do these ab crunch machines. And because we're not taking the principles of the proper diet and exercise, we don't see our bodies transforming the way we want them to transform. We just take the product and we want to use it for 3 days and say, well, this ain't working.
Well, that's the person in my world, Gene, that doesn't come back.
Right. They come to you and like, I want change right away. Help me in one session. Right?
Yeah. They're not willing to work.
They're not willing to work. How many know that anything that brings change is going to take work, right? It's going to take work. And so let me give you our text today, then we'll get right into our discussion. It's a text we've been using in this series, and we've used it quite a bit here at Destiny Church in a lot of our teaching, which is simply this, and do not be conformed to this world, right? We're not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed. Everybody say that word, transformed. It just came out this weekend, Transformers. You should remember this word.
Optimus Prime. Okay,
transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind. We're to be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Now, we as Christians, we say this a lot. All right, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. And then we just think, okay, let's just get out there. Let's just read more scripture. And that is very much a part of it, okay? I've got to put the good in if I'm going to take the bad out. I've got to know if I'm going to transform my mind, I've got to know what the Word of God says about me. That is a part of it. But there's more to it than just that. There's some nuts and bolts today that I want to dive into about how are we transformed by our mind, Dan. Tell us about it today.
Well, transformation actually is more difficult than most people think. We can equate it to someone who has a talent to be an athlete, and they don't transform into a quality athlete just in a little bit of time. As a matter of fact, I'm kind of fact-based, and what we know is that, you know, you've learned that it takes 30 days to learn a new habit and a week to lose it. Well, what we know is more true is that it takes 2 years for change in your mind to be permanent. And that means that you have to be practicing a new skill or a new habit or a new behavior for it to be in you for at least 2 years.
Good. Well, let's go through this then. We're talking about renewing our mind. And the first thing we talked about was learning to take every thought captive. I hope you're taking good notes today because we're going to give you some good points. I want you writing these down, making sure we're applying to our life. The first thought, Dan, was learning to take every thought captive.
Let's read our scripture first. It's 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations and everything that has exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I'm going to break those down into three specific parts because there's three parts of the way that you think that are very important for you to recognize how your brain works. Now, I'm a clinician. That means that we're going to talk about how the brain functions and sometimes just get a little laborious. But what's really true is if you recognize how your brain works, it'll really help you think differently. And that's really what we're talking about in changing who you are. The first part of this is casting down imaginations. That actually is hope. You know, when your hope is dashed, when things aren't going well, you imagine the world to be good or you imagine the world of your future to be bad. And what he's talking about here is you have to be able to recognize and to pull down those things that are contrary to the things that God's called you to believe in, your future hope to be true. You have to call those back and begin to believe those in a different way.
That's good. Taking down our imaginations, because that's what we talk about many times at Destiny. We talked about this, that Jesus even confronted this. He said, you know, before it becomes a sin, you know, it starts in our mind, right? Like, Jesus, I haven't committed adultery. He goes, yeah, but you're lusting about that girl in your mind already, so you might as well. Because once we allow our imaginations to start going there, then our heart's going to follow, and then our actions are going to follow that. That's why we've got to learn to take control of our thought life. Is it a sin to have bad thoughts? Is it a sin to have bad thoughts?
No, it is not a sin.
It's not. But whereas a Christian, I'm in charge of taking those thoughts captive. Notice the difference. I don't allow those thoughts to rule my life. I don't sit around and fantasize about those thoughts. I don't sit around and daydream about those bad thoughts that is going there. Also, it goes not just small, goes beyond just sin thoughts, but also about bad thoughts about us.
Right, exactly. Bad thoughts about ourselves and things like that. Let's go to B. We have A, B, and C here. The B is the things that we experience, which is the high thing. Now, here's an important part of what's true about all of us. Now, our brain has three things going on inside of it. One is it has a future hope. We're all that way. And then the second thing is it has our past experiences, things that we've experienced, which creates within you the belief system that you have about what you believe to be true. And when we have negative experiences or experiences that cause us to believe something that might not be true, what it talks about here is for us to cast down or to control those things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. So you have a belief, a misbelief about what God's talking to you about who you are, and you believe something opposite about what you are not. And that belief system actually prevents you from being healthy in your brain.
So what you're saying is we got to learn to replace our belief system. So I got to know the false thing that's coming up in my mind and replace it with the true thing that's there.
That's correct. The difficulty is figuring out what it is that we believe. And we'll talk about that in a minute. And C here is our self-talk, what we think. And that is that taking into captive, again, every thought. And that is that you have a bunch of self-talk words. You actually think to yourself around 1,400 words a minute. You have hundreds of thousands of words in your bucket inside your body, inside your brain. And you repeat these words to yourself over and over and over again. And being mindful of what you're actually thinking about is one of the most important parts of transformation.
That's good. So we got to learn how to replace it, the bad behavior, with the good behavior. And it starts in our mind. I think I shared this in the first service with them, the example I had seen recently about a doctor talking about one of his patients that was struggling with some bad habits. And one of her habits was, she says, "Doc, I struggle with eating all these cookies during my TV time." I know none of you face that, right? But she's like, I don't struggle with it at work. I don't struggle with it any other time, but when I'm watching TV, I run and grab a handful of cookies, come back, and during my show, I just, eat all those cookies. And I've gone through a whole pack of cookies in one night, and I'm addicted. And she's like, the more I try to take it out of my house and say, all right, get it out of your house so you won't be tempted. And she goes, then I get rid of it all, and then the next week I buy three times as much because now I'm craving it more than ever. Can anyone relate to that? Okay. And so what he said was this, he goes, I am not going to take cookies from you. Matter of fact, I am giving you permission to eat your cookies, but on one condition. First of all, you got to take those cookies and you got to place them at the highest point in the cabinets of your kitchen. Take them and place them where it is not easy to get to, where you've actually got to get a chair out and step on a stepping stool or something to reach up and grab those cookies. And then you have to take a plate and put them on the plate and eat your cookies with a fork and knife at the kitchen table. Because you don't have a TV in the kitchen. And so if you want to eat those cookies, you sit there at the kitchen table, eat it with a nice plate, eat it with a fork and knife, so that you have to go through the trouble of climbing to get it. You got to dirty up your dishes to do it, and you're missing your show while it's going on. And in return, I want you to put out a nice fruit bowl on the table, and you can eat that fruit in front of the TV if you want to, but you don't have to have that fruit. And what happens was, of course, that person says, I don't want to go through the trouble of missing my show and going through all the trouble of dirtying those dishes and climbing to get that. My brain said, just grab some fruit and eat that. That's a lot easier. And so her brain began to have a payoff of saying, here's a replacement that's better for you. It's easier for you. And it was an alternative. So I didn't take one thing out, but I replaced it with something that was better. And my mind began to say, I want to do the easier thing. And so it became a habit, a better habit. Are you following me here? This is the same thing spiritually in our life. We have got to learn. I can say I want to cast things down, but if I don't know how to replace it with the right things, I'm going to cast it down and then struggle with it again tomorrow.
Exactly. And there's a skill to that, actually. So I like that example really well, because what you're actually learning there is that she had to change a physical behavior to change the emotion and the brain space, the brain inside her to follow that behavior. So she actually had to do something physical in order to change. And that's really believing something, even though that you don't think it's true. If you follow a skill or do behavior, whether you believe it's true or not, or whether you believe it works or not, actually works really well. And I love that example, because she was doing something, whether she believed it or not, that it would work, began to actually do, like putting the cookies in a place where she couldn't reach them as easy and have a fruit bowl on the table. So she's actually changing her behavior, which is changing her belief system by following a skill. Whether she believes it's going to work or not, just simply does it.
That's good. So realizing that this, that we have the power to take every thought captive, okay? You got to realize this, that you have the power to take every thought captive. As a Christian, we have been given this power on the cross. We just sang about it in the last song. We have been given this power through the power of the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior, that we can take every thought captive in our life. We got to learn to operate in that power.
So let's think about what it is that you're trying to behave in, or your bad behavior, breaking bad behavior. What would that be? It doesn't matter. By the way, I have learned not to trust my brain. And every time you see me here, I always have something to write in. Do you know why I write? Because did you know that your brain forgets? Your brain will twist the truth. If you are not writing down what you hear, and if you don't look at it later, you will not remember it accurately. So it's real important that you document what you learn. Even if you throw it away later, it really changes the way that you're thinking. Now, for example, if you're going to write down what bad behavior you wanted to change today, what would that be? Doesn't matter what it is. But the three questions would be, what do you believe about it in the future? What do you believe about it currently? Why are you currently doing it? And where does your self-talk about it? Let me give you an example. Gene was using the idea of the infomercial. What we believe is, our imagination is that we'll change without the hard work. What we believe in ourselves is that we can actually do it. And our self-talk is yes, I can. But what's the thing that's the missing key there? Any idea? It's called our ability to follow through. It's our ability to actually do the work. If you're not actually doing the work, it doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what you hope for. It doesn't matter what you believe could be true. It doesn't matter what your self-talk is. If you don't do the behavior, nothing about you is going to change. Now, that's called resiliency, by the way, in clinical terms. Resiliency means that you're willing to do the same thing over and over again until you get the results that you want. All right. Now, we know that crazy is you're doing the same thing over and over again and get results that you don't want. But in order to get the results that you want, you have to do the same thing over and over again. And so it doesn't matter what the bad behavior is, or addiction, or whatever you want to call it. It could even be as simple as having an argument about who's going to do the dishes. But what you truly have to do is spend time recognizing what it is that you hope for in the future, what you want to change, what you believe about that change, and then what your self-talk is about yourself and about the other person in that relationship, if it's about another person.
That's good. So we're learning, number one, to take every thought captive. Number two, talking to myself in truth. Talk to us about that, Dan.
Well, yeah. I like this part of this verse. We're going to talk about Psalms 15:2. This is King David. I really love the way that he thinks. He says here, the very last part, he who walks uprightly and walks righteous and works righteousness and speaks truth, who in his heart. So who may dwell on your holy hill? What this is talking about is that you must practice talking to yourself truth. Now here's where we get in trouble. I don't know how many of you have ever been to a counselor before, but in my world, most people don't want to come because they feel like it's going to be an experience where, well, in the first place, they feel like they're broken, and they're not broken. They know they're not broken, and so they don't want to come. And that's why there's just a small number of individuals that will actually show up in a counseling office. But what I've learned is that when people show up in my world, most of them have a great experience because I teach them how to talk to themselves in truth. Really what a counselor is doing, what a therapist is doing, is you're actually helping someone understand what it is that they don't understand and learning to turn that into actual truth. For example, walking in truth, so there's 3 points here about walking in truth. The first one is walking in truth. That simply means that you're not sinning. You know, if you actually are sinning, you know, if you're robbing a bank or if you're driving 75 and a 35, you're going to get caught. If you have sin in your life, it's difficult to speak truth to yourself, right? Because you can't be incongruent with what you're actually behaving with. Doing the truth is doing the word. You have to be doing the word. You have to be doing things that you know you're supposed to be doing, which is attending a church, fellowshipping with others, tithing, doing the things that you know that you're supposed to be doing in order to be following the word, spending time in the word as often as you can, or at least daily. And the last one is speaking the truth to ourselves. This is where we get into trouble. Now, I'm often quoted on this, and I'm going to speak this because I believe it's true. Did you know that you have character flaws? And all of us can see them. I mean, we love Pastor Gene, but he often talks about his character flaws. He's very open and transparent about who he is. You show up at his house and you can see that there's things that just aren't the way that you would like them to be because he's a different person than you are, right? Well, the problem is that we have a tendency to want to hide our character flaws from others, right? Well, when you're hiding your character flaws from yourself, you're not speaking truth to yourself. True transformation is when you're willing to admit your badness. Now, I was working with a couple. I just started working with him here about 2 weeks ago, and they had a kind of an argument, and they were having this, you know, it's rather wordy and something you couldn't really say in church. The words were going on, you know, and he was telling me his side of the story, and she was telling me her side of the story, and both of them were telling me what the other person did. Well, do I care about that? Why not? Because it's not their truth. See, in order for someone to truly transform, they have to start speaking their own truth to themselves, which is their own badness. In other words, I want a complete list of every word they said. I want a complete list. I want a complete diary of what they did, not what the other person did. And why do I want that? Because the only way they can truly change is acknowledge the things that they are doing, whether they be good or bad, because they are simply true.
Right. And this is where we struggle. Come on, church. Let's just be really honest. This is where we really struggle, is being honest. Right? I mean, how many took a selfie this week? Raise your hand if you took a selfie. Be honest. Come on. All right. We're a selfie generation that's happening. I read the data that says that, you know, we probably took 40 selfies to get that one we put on Instagram or Facebook. If you want to know what you really look like, look at all the selfies you didn't put on Facebook or Instagram. That's the real you. But we have a hard time admitting that. We're like, is it lighting just right? Is it my good side, bad side? Let me, flex right here. I'm opening the door just right here, you know. Not that we all think that way. I've heard people do that. But anyway, we have a hard time admitting who we really are. That's why we take 40 selfies to get the one good one. And that's why we come into church and we walk in like everything's okay, when all of us have got some bad behavior that we need to admit and deal with in our life. We need to take off the mask and say, none of us are really okay. We're really not. We got some bad things in our life, and that's okay. It's okay to say, you know what? I'm struggling with some things in my past. I've struggled this week with some things that I'm dealing with. I fell this week, and I stumbled. Man, I was doing so good. I was free from this addiction for 2 months, and this week, man, I blew it. It's okay to admit that. It's okay. This last week, I will tell you that in my early, I know maybe you have a hard time believing this. I wasn't always a great person. And I know that's hard for you to believe, right, Pastor Gene? But
I can believe it.
I know it. So, Dan, come on. He's known me a long time. But, you know, one of the things I used to struggle with quite a bit before God changed me was I had some really anger issues in my life. Anger problems, lose my temper really easy. And, the other day, I lost my temper with my family, and I went off, and boy, I went displayed some very immature actions, and then I couldn't sleep all night. I was so upset at myself for really allowing my temper to get the best of me. The next day, I had to call my kids together, and I just had to sit down with them, Dan, and said, you know what? The reason why, I want you to know, I lost my temper, the reason why it was still a valid reason to be upset, but it was not a good reason for me to lose my temper, and I struggle with it, and I want to ask you to forgive me. I asked my family, forgive me, I said, because I used to really struggle with it. I've been doing better, but you know what? I blew it last night. I blew it, and I lost my temper. And I had to sit down with my family and just say, Dad's not perfect. You know how hard that is for me? That's hard. It's not easy, but at the same time, it's freeing. It takes the pressure off of me from feeling like I got to perform as super dad all the time. You know, they see me as the pastor. They see me as super dad, and then I have to sit down and admit, you know what? Dad just blew it last night.
So I want to take that, however, example, and a great example, Gene. Thank you. and take it to the next level. Because here's what happens is that we misbehave and we correct it by saying we're sorry and apologize. But the next thing that happens is we're doing it again and again and again. And that bad behavior never changes, right? Well, do you know why it never changes? This is another fascinating rule. This is one of the reasons why having someone in your life that you can be honest and transparent and truthful with can truly change your life. Here's why. So I love working with someone who just got out of prison because there's no secrets in their life. Everyone knows what's true about them, right? I mean, it is just open fodder. You know exactly what's going on in their world. You know where they've been, what's going on inside them. There are no secrets. Did you know that if you hold on to secrets, you can't accurately speak your truth to yourself? There's something about speaking out loud the things that you're thinking about yourself in your head that makes a tremendous difference in your ability to end the addiction or the bad behavior. It's a fascinating rule. Now, I've been practicing this for a number of years in my private practice, and what I do is I've trained people to be listeners in my world, and some of you here in the church have experienced this with me, where if you have a difficulty in your world and you're in my world, if you're not doing homework, if you're not working away from me, then you're not going to get better. Because with me, all I'm going to do is expose it to you. You got to do the work. You know, it's kind of like you can come to the trainer, but you got to work with the trainer. And so I'll send you away and send you something to do and to work on. And one of the reasons this works is this, is that I don't really want to hear your truth because I'm bound by law at some point to never say what you tell to me. And I've heard all kinds of stories. But if you're willing to tell someone that's in your real world your real truth, guess what will go away? The shame, the guilt, the addiction, the bad behavior. It is a fascinating rule. That's why speaking the truth to ourselves and someone else is so important. That's one of the reasons why I love the way King David did it. If you look at Psalms 139, if you have, I want you to write this down because I want you to write this scripture down and look at it this week. He's bouncing along and talking about how much God loves him. How wonderful it is from the moment that he was born, God just loves who he is, and every day in advance was well-structured. And yet then along around verse 19 or 20, he says, I hate them. I hate them all. I hate them with a godly, with a hatred. And why does he say that? Because he's being transparent about what's in his mind. He's just sharing with us as he's bouncing along what his truth is. And then the last two verses of that scripture of 139 says this, if there's any wicked way in me, create a clean heart in me, O God. So, see, as he's bouncing along, what we're hearing him talk about is his truth. He's expressing to us his self-talk out loud. To us, he's talking about the things that he's actually experiencing, about how much he knows God loves him, and we all do that. But then he says, I hate them. Now, we often think that it's wrong to do that. Do I think that it's wrong to hate someone? Seriously. Are you going to hate someone once in a while? You're going to not like their behavior to the point that you really hate them? Now, here's why it's important to recognize that it's okay to say that I hate you. Because it's your self-talk. It's your language. You get rid of it. Once you say it, it goes away if you say it in the right way, especially if you express it to someone without intent. Because what you're doing is you're following up with what King David did. But if there's a wicked way in me, see how that works? That's why this self-talk and following the rules is really, really important. As a matter of fact, one of the difficulties we run into is that we often don't want to follow the rules because we think it's too hard. I can't tell anybody about my truth. I have a friend. His name is Dan also. I've known him for, goodness gracious, we went to college together. And we've been meeting for about 8 years now. And we meet, at the beginning we met very often. Now it's about four times a year. He lives in Kansas City. And he's my accountability partner. He's my truth speaker. And Dan has heard everything that I've ever done or experienced. And here's why. Now, I'm not that for Dan. He doesn't tell me his stuff, but I tell him mine. And here's why. It's because in order for me to keep myself conscious about what is true about me, I must hear myself speak my negative truth, including the things that I don't like about me and the things I don't like about others. The fascinating truth is that I'm not repeating it. I'm simply saying and admitting, like King David did, this is what's true. I hate them with a godly hatred. They've harmed me, but God, because I'm human, I want you to make me a clean heart. Give me an idea of what I need to do to change me because I can't change them.
That's good. And I think that's the culture here at Destiny that we're trying to establish is it's okay to fail, you know, and it's okay to admit that. One of the things that we've seen in churches too far is that people come in, they fall, and they're too ashamed to admit it, reach out for help. And that's the very basis of what we're talking about is at Destiny, I've mentioned before that I want to get to the place where we can celebrate failure. And someone looked at me like, what do you mean, Pastor? What I mean by this is that if you come in and you're maybe battling a bad behavior, and you do good for 2 or 3 weeks, and then you fall. Instead of feeling like, oh, man, I've blown it. I've got to start all over again. People are going to shame to me. No, we applaud you when you fall and say, get back up. That's okay. That's who you are. You fell, but get back up. And now let's go further than we did last time. And let's support each other. And we know you struggle in this, so we're not surprised you've fallen. Now let's help them get back up, and let's help them grow from their mistakes and grow from their honesty of admitting, hey, I had a bad week. You know, I went back, and I used this week. I know I shouldn't have. You know, what do I do? Okay, you're honest, okay, instead of hiding it and now letting that become a thing that traps you into going further back right. into that addiction or that bad behavior, now I can expose it and say, yeah, I used today. I was bad today, or I did this today, and I can move beyond it.
Well, here's the rule. The rule is that an unspoken thought or word becomes a behavior, and that's just how that is. Now, if you're tracking with this, an unspoken word or thought becomes a behavior. Now, what that means is if you don't tell someone what you're thinking about doing, you're going to do it, right? So if you misbehaved, if you don't tell someone, you're going to misbehave again. That's just how that is. It's a fascinating rule. And one of the principles behind that is that it creates a secret inside our heart. We're completely transparent about who we are. It's a fascinating rule. Whether you believe that works or not, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you believe it works or not. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The reason it doesn't matter is because as long as you hold on to the belief system that you have that you can't tell someone about your truth, you're not going to be healthy. Okay. So, but I promise you, as soon as you practice that, now here's the difficulty that we run into, and that's why I've trained people to be listeners, is do you have someone in your world that you truly trust? I mean, really? Do you have someone in your world that you truly trust? I was working with a young man a number of years ago, and we were talking about this transparency rule that I have, and he met with a bunch of men in his world and started being transparent, and he lost every one of those relationships, and that's because they weren't ready for that. So you can't just share your truth with anyone. You have to test the waters a little bit. But truthfully, if you have things that you're struggling with, it's because you have not openly admitted the truth about what's really buried on the inside of your heart. That will begin the process of transformation and change.
That's where our life groups really become a strong tool for you to use and take advantage of. During the school year, we run life groups that meet twice a month, where we have people go into homes and they take the message that was spoken in the morning time, and they go over that message. And in that message, people can say, hey, yeah, you know what? I struggle with that. That's me. That's me. I've really struggled with what Pastor Gene talked about today. And we can begin to get honest, and it kind of opens the door and gets you doing it. And sometimes out of that relationship, there will be somebody who rises up in there that you even come even closer to, that you can start having these kind of relationships with. That's why the reason we're doing the things we're doing are so important to the spiritual health of our church and to your spiritual health of you personally. Because when you have those people, you can open up and say, yeah, I'm struggling with that. I was inspired, but you know what? Honestly, I'm struggling bad with that, and I need help.
Yeah, and when you're struggling bad with the behavior, actually there's a reason why you're struggling with the behavior, and this is where it gets really difficult. And that is that you have to be willing to admit not only just the behavior, but what you say to yourself about the behavior. And what I mean by that is this. Is that God will never, ever use me because I've done this. That goes back to our first point, which is if I don't have a belief in my future, God will never use me, so I don't believe I'm good enough, and therefore I'm going to talk to myself like I'm not good enough. See how that works? So in other words, in order for us to actually truly change, we have to start in reverse. You pay attention to what it is you're saying to yourself. What's that language that you say to yourself? Openly tell someone that language. What do you believe about the words that you're saying? Where did that come from? Where did you learn that at? You learned it somewhere along the way. And then what's your future hope? If you have a self-talk language that says God's never going to use me, what's your future hope? God's never going to use you. So in order for you actually to be able to be healthy, you have to have a view of your future hope. You have to believe that it's true. And then your self-talk, what you say to yourself, has to line up with that. Now, it's a little more complicated than that. I want to give you a story. I worked with a lady who was in her 70s. And she came to me, and I learned this process from someone else. But I want you to think about these three questions. This gal showed up in my world. Her husband had died. And she was saying to me that she will never be married. So I asked her these three questions. She says, I'm never going to get married again. She was sad, lifelong relationship. So I asked her these three questions. The first question I asked her was, can you prove that that's true? See, when you're talking to yourself or thinking about what your truth is, you need to ask yourself these three questions. The first one is, can you prove it's true? The second question is, and she couldn't prove it was true, no one would ever marry her. The second question is, what if it's not true? Well, that's even more fascinating. What would happen if there was someone out there that may want to marry her? And the third question would be, we should act, or he told her, I'm telling you, I told her to act as if it's not true. So what are you actually doing? You're walking in faith. See, when you start walking in faith, regardless of what you believe to be true, it will actually change the way that you view your world. Now, within a couple of years, this young lady, she was 70 in my world, 72, got married within a year and a half. So what happened? As long as she wasn't resisting, her world changed. When you resist things, the world doesn't change. When she started talking about what could be true and start believing that it could be true and change the language that she was saying to herself on the inside, she actually got married.
So good. That's so good. This is what it talks about, living in faith. And we can say, oh, walk by faith. What's that mean? We're giving you right here. This is the tool. This is so good. I hope you're writing this down. This is what we're talking about, learning to walk in faith about the things I write. I think this is what I think is going to happen, but I believe through God's help, I can walk in a bit better light. I can walk in a better hope. This is the hope we have.
So here's the difficulty with that, Gene, is that we think it's wrong to talk about the things that we don't believe, and that's not true. What you heard me say is you must say the things that you don't believe to be true at first, because if you hold on to them, then they can't go away. So you have to start with what you don't like and what you don't believe. I don't believe this. This is not, I don't believe that God's really called me to do something wonderful, or I don't believe that I'll ever have this wonderful business, or I'll ever be the kind of mom or dad or parent that I'm supposed to be. You start there because you have to release the stuff that's holding you from your past. And if you don't start there, then you don't have something to build on. You start with admitting. That's what our salvation is about. When we come to Jesus, we need him. That's why I love my badness. My daughter said to me a couple months ago, she sent a text to my wife, and she said, Dad, is the king of procrastinators. Oh my gosh, I love that. So I called her on the phone. As soon as I got an opportunity, and I called her on the phone, I said, Megan, I love you. I said, that was so wonderful. I love that about myself. I've got projects everywhere that are undone. Now, why do I love my badness? Because can I deny it's true? No, that's the same thing I'm telling you. When you have character flaws that are true, why run from them? Admit that they're true and run toward them. There's freedom in that. It doesn't matter. Now, I'm a quiet person. You're going to see me sitting around not having lots of conversations. I used to really not like who I was. Now, I discovered I'm just not a talkative person. I don't have a lot of verbs in my head for you. If I'm talking with you, I'm like, I don't know what to say next. And you just got to be okay with that. And I'm okay with that because I'm not uncomfortable in my skin. But you have to be able to be okay with who you are. And you have to be able to be okay with the things that you don't like about yourself. Because as Gene was saying earlier, with his anger, he's willing to admit it, but the way that you get that to go away is you get with, after the act, is you get with someone that you trust and you talk about what really happened. Like Avis and I were camping 2 weekends ago, and she was saying, you could be a lot kinder. I was actually trying to stuff the tent in the tent bag. And you know how that is? It's a big tent, and it's a little bit tent bag. Why in the world do they do that? I have no clue. And there's these straps that weren't attached to it, and they were all the way over there. And I'm hanging on to this tent, trying to keep it inside the bag. And I said, well, you get me those straps. And she said, well, you could be a little kinder about it. Well, that is true, right? But let me tell you what was actually going on in my head. See, I had been spending the morning writing and thinking about my dad. And I just having a lot of negative emotions about my dad. I was missing him, wasn't liking some of the things that happened in my dad's life and mine, and wishing things would be different. So I was already negative in my head, right? I was already having a lot of negative talk in my head. And so what happened? How did that come out? It came out in negative behavior or anger toward her. So I told her later, after I apologized, and she got the straps for me, I apologized. And then I told her later, well, this is what is true in my head. Now, why did I share that with her? Was it for her benefit or mine? It was for my benefit. I wanted her to know, but it doesn't really matter where she knows, whether she knows or not, because it's not an aha moment for her as much as it is the fact that if I don't practice the rule, I must, you know, if you're close to me, you will recognize that I often talk about my badness. I will talk about something that's bothering me right away. And the reason is because I got to get rid of it. I can't hold on to it for the next moment. And so it's more about following the rules so that I don't hold on to the things that are not really doing well in my head so I can move past them.
Okay, we're talking about breaking the bad behavior. So we talked about how do we transform by the renewing of our mind, taking our thoughts captive, right? Taking our thoughts captive, learning to talk myself in truth, admitting who I really am, stop walking in denial, stop, you know, one of the things you said earlier in the last service that you didn't mention this way, so when Our brain brings up our past. It's God's way of wanting us to get healed.
Let me talk about that for just a moment. Yeah. You have your brain is like a big bucket, and it's got thousands of words in it. And your brain is really designed to heal itself. It's a fascinating rule. And most of us don't recognize that that is true. Now, we all have random thoughts, right? Like, where did that thought come from? Okay. Well, guess what we've discovered about that random thought? When it shows up, it's the thought that the Holy Spirit is bringing to you that is negative energy or condemnation that's attached to it or guilt. And he's saying, would you please deal with this thought, please? Because if you have no emotions about your past, you'll be a healthy adult. If you have a bunch of negative emotions and guilt and shame about your past, you can't be a healthy adult. So your brain will bring to you in random times these thoughts. Your role is to immediately deal with that thought. Now, you really should share it with someone that you trust, but most importantly, you should solve the conflict that's related to that thought as soon as it shows up.
Isn't it amazing that God has made us that way in our DNA, that the things that we need to walk in emotional health, that He will bring them back to us time and time again in order for us to deal with it, so that if we learn to deal with it, we can walk in spiritual and emotional health.
That's a very simple rule. Again, it doesn't matter whether you believe the skills work or not. Right. It's just about learning a new skill. I want to close with talking about three things that I talked with you about the other day, the three questions that if you truly want to be a different person, you truly want to change who you are, there's three things that you can do that can make a difference in who you are. Now, we all have friends, right? And your friends never tell you what they don't like about you. Is that true? They're going to say, oh, you're fine. It's okay. They're very forgiving, very loving. Is that true? Do they treat you that way? Mine do that way too. Now, I'm working with a large group of people over in Parsons, and there's about 30 that are in the leadership team, and I got it down to about 12 or 13 one day, and I got them in a room, and I said, okay, they've been working with me for a couple years. I want everyone in the room to talk about what they don't like about Dan Clark. Now, there was a lot of similarities.
They were there all day. It was a long, long, long session.
And there's a lot of similarities, but a lot of things that I already knew about myself because I have already been talking to myself for 55 years, right? But I wanted them to tell me what they didn't like about me. Now, I made all of them say something. The reason is this. My humility comes from my transparency. My willingness to admit the fact that, yep, I did that. This is who I am. This is true about me. This is just who I am. I can't change that. It's really true. Now, they weren't saying things that couldn't change. I mean, that they weren't talking about sin in me. They were talking about character flaws that they had difficulty with because they kept showing up in me, like procrastination or changing the subject all the time. I'm a little airhead sometimes, and I'm very challenged sometimes electronics. You know, there's things about me that just I love about the way my brain works. I can't do math. You know, I can't add up. I can't do a checking account. There's things I can't do, but I love that about me now because since I know what I can't do, I never put myself in that. But as we're going around the room, they had an opportunity to recognize that they also must allow people in their world that they trust to talk about them. So here's the three things that can help you become the most transformed or humble person in your world. The first one is this, is find three people in your world that you trust, good friends, not just acquaintances, and have a conversation with them. Tell them, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and I will never talk about these again, but I want you to tell me what it is about me that you would change. And you're going to ask them to tell you three things. Now, you're telling this your friend that you're never going to talk with them about it again, and you're not going to hold them accountable for it, and you're not going to try to change it because you're not going to try to change it. That's not the purpose. But you want them to be truthful with you about the things they would change about you. What is that going to do to your brain? What's that going to do to your heart? Ugh. Right? It's like looking in the mirror. If you're not allowing people to speak to you the things that you don't like about you, you can't be healthy. It's unfortunate, but it's just true. The second thing that I want you to do is I want you to ask that same group of people the things that they love the most about you. And we're starting out with a negative. But I want you to tell them three things, or want them to tell you three things that they love about you. And the reason for this is you need to see the things that people desire in you, what's good about you. And the last thing is you're going to ask them what it is that you do naturally well and try to list as many of those three things. What happens when you do this exercise, and I have a lot of my clients do this, and when I'm teaching in class, we do this, it helps you get a perspective that you typically don't have. Because how many people in your world, other than when they don't like what you've done, tell you what your character flaws are? Seriously. Does anyone ever tell you what your character flaws are? Or are we just so kind in the church that we're going to let those go by, right? Well, actually, did you know that that's what the marriage is about? The marriage is about talking about your character flaws to your spouse. You think you argue for a reason? No, you argue with a purpose. Come on now. And that purpose is to expose your spouse to your character flaws so she can learn to live with them, right? Because they're not going to change. And you're willing to let her tell them to you so that you can be humbly acknowledging the fact that you still are going to be bad, but you're going to try to be good. So that's, I think I said this earlier, one of the statements that I often make is I love my badness. I love it so much that I'm willing to admit at any point when I'm good or bad what's really truly going on inside myself.
That's good. I'm going to ask our musicians to come this morning. And Dan, the last thing I want to close with is a quick thought. Just number three is that we got to learn to be aware of my physical being. We got to learn to know when are we most, when's our weakest points, when we're most, the most time we're most tempted, or the most time most weak when we've had this bad behavior to repeat it in our life.
Yeah, our body is really important because your body has a language that it speaks all itself to you. And your body will tell you when you're not doing well, when you're tired or irritable. If you don't take care of your body, if you don't enjoy and love, I mean, we should love our body. We should love what we have. And our physiology is so important to our mental health because if you have something going wrong with your body, you're not going to be really healthy anyway. So learning to be aware of what my body is saying to me and taking care of it because it is the temple of the Lord. Remember we talked about that? Or actually, God, Gene's talked about in the past, and you know that that's true. It's the temple of the Lord. If you don't take care of your body the best that you can and take care of it in a way that you are paying attention to what it's telling you, then it's really hard for your mind to work well.
That's good. That's good. We got to realize where we're weak at. And I asked the first service this, and I asked you the same question today as we close. If you were Satan, I said you, not your spouse. If you were Satan, where would you attack yourself? Where would you attack you? What thoughts would you put in your mind? What areas of weakness would you bring back up? What things? Because if we can acknowledge, if we can just simply admit and say, this is where, yeah, if I was Satan, I would attack me here. I would attack my low self-esteem. Or I would attack my areas of abuse in my childhood. Or I would attack some failures I had 20 years ago. That's where I would do if I was Satan. If I can realize that, then I can begin to take those things captive. When those things come up, I go, that's just Satan. That's just Satan trying to distract me. That's just Satan trying to get me to repeat that bad behavior. That's just Satan trying to bring me back to that bad cycle. No, I recognize it because I know that can be a weak spot because I can admit it. I can admit it, and then I can begin to say, you know what? This is who I am. I struggle with this area of my life, and I begin to share it with somebody. I share it with God. I share it with somebody I'm close to. And then I can begin to get free from that and say, I'm taking this power because I'm admitting it myself. I struggle with it. I'm taking the power over the person who hurt me in the past. I'm learning to walk beyond that through saying, you know what? I'm going to keep myself in the right spot. I know at nighttime I'm more weak to do there. So I know when I don't have enough sleep or I'm not exercising, I know I'm more weak in some areas. So I've got to learn to address those areas. I'm going to learn to be an overcomer. God is calling us to transform. How many want to transform? I want to transform. I don't want to just exist and be stuck in bad cycles, but I want the Holy Spirit to transform me through the renewing of my mind. I want to know what God's Word says about me. And I share with them, if you don't know what God's Word says about you, you can't replace those thoughts. I take them captive, and then I replace them with what God's Word says about me. So you got to open up the Word of God. You got to read it. You can buy some books that are called God's Promises for Your Life, and you can open those up and read those all the time as scripture after scripture talking about God's promises about your life. Put those things into your heart, into your mind, and say, I'm going to replace those thoughts and take them captive. I want you to bow your heads this morning. Thank you, Dan. You guys give Dan a hand this morning. Appreciate his help this morning. As we bow our heads this morning, I want to ask you the thought, how many today say, Pastor, I just want to be honest and say, you know what, I'm really struggling with some bad behavior in my life. And as you talk about it, I realize I've got some things in my life that I just really need to begin to deal with today, that you're speaking today. I need to admit, anybody want to raise your hand if that's me? Admit that, yeah. Hands everywhere because we're learning to be honest, right? Thanks for being honest this morning, guys. Saying, I've got some bad behavior in my life that I'm ready to begin to get beyond this in my life. And the first point today is simply saying, God, I admit it. I admit it. I admit it. I got to learn to admit it in truth. I got to begin to take those thoughts captive, begin to speak what is true about me. What is true is I've struggled, but what is also true is that God is bigger than this problem. God is bigger than this power of addiction, and I can learn not to let it have rule of my life. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet this morning. We're going to close with this song, and I simply want you just to make it your personal worship this morning as we close out. And say, God, in your presence there is freedom. In your presence today, I am renewing my mind and I'm renewing my spirit as I sing to you in closing today. Join us.
Found in your hands fullness of joy. Every fear is
over every person in this room, that God, you would teach us what it means to take every thought captive in our life. Teach us what it means to speak truth about us, to admit the things we're struggling with in our life. And Father, today I pray that you are empowering people to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, transformed by the knowledge of what your word says we are. Father, I thank you that God, you are not just inspiring us, but you're allowing us to transform. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak that these words will come true to our life this week, or that we would take thoughts captive, speak things in truth according to your word, and walk in the freedom you have designed for us to walk in. If you agree with this word spoken today, I want you to put your hands together and say, yes, I agree with this word this morning. Listen. It's the nuts and bolts. I want you to take the nuts and bolts, and I want you to take it and apply it to your life. I want you to run with it this week. Turn around and give someone a high five, a hug, and say, man, it's good to be with you today. God bless you.